Psalm 5. Be your joy. Do you have rejoicing in your heart because of what the Lord's done? There is a multitude of enemies in this world, in our sin, in our flesh, in the world around us. But in the midst of it all, don't we have rejoicing in our Lord? Isn't there just rejoicing? The joy of His salvation. I love to preach and see the joy on your face. I love that. Because there's words where the joy is on the face, is generally there's joy in the heart. Joy in the heart. Well, in Psalm 5, let's read this together. And I'll show you what rejoiced my heart when I read these verses. Let me read it to you this way, and you see that David is praying. This is a song of David, but David's praying. This is his prayer. He's speaking of his prayer to God. And he says there in verse 4, "Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Before thine eyes he won't stand. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing lies. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." I read those verses and my first thought was, well, that's a good description of me in my flesh. Very good description of me. And the scripture says they won't stand before God's sight. Such a one can't stand before God's sight. Can't come into His presence. Look down at verse 9. "There's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward parts very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." You familiar with that? Sound familiar? Look over at Romans 3. Romans 3. And look at verse. This is where Paul was quoting from when he was saying, this is the case of every man, Jew and Gentile. No different. Look at Romans 3. Verse 9. "We've concluded, proved before, both Jew and Gentiles, that they're all under sin." Verse 10, "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one." Now here's Paul's quoting right here from our psalm. "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit." Flattered ourselves, commending our will, flattering ourselves, commending our righteousness, flattering ourselves, commending some worthiness in us to come before God, flattered themselves. "The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouths full of cursing and bitterness, their feet swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways, the way of peace they've not known, no fear of God before their eyes. And we know what things forever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God." Look back there at Psalm 5 verse 10. "Destroy thou them, O God." The word means make them guilty. Make them guilty. What grace it is when God makes a sinner fall by our own counsels. Let them fall by their own counsel, by their own words of wisdom. "Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they rebelled against thee." It's grace when God makes us to behold the multitude of our transgressions. Shows us the transgression we are in ourselves. And that's what we are in our flesh. This is what we are. Every man, the believer. And this is But look now, verse 4 again, he says, evil shall not dwell with thee. Evil will not dwell in thy house. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. But here's the rejoicing. Here's what just grabbed my heart. Verse 3. My voice thou shalt hear. My voice thou shalt hear, O Lord. Look at verse 7. As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. How? Now David's talking about coming into God's presence just in prayer. He begins it, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. How is it that a sinner, just like David, just like me and you, how is it that we can come into God's presence even speaking, even in prayer, even in the meditation of our heart? How can we come into God's presence? How will He hear us? It's because He first hears Christ Jesus the Lord. It's because the believer has a mediator, an intercessor, an advocate with the Father in His presence. And He delights in Christ Jesus for His righteousness' sake. You notice here in verse 1 who David's praying to. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. He's calling on God, my God. He's approaching God in Christ Jesus, the King. That's who he's coming in. He says there in verse 7, as for me, I'll come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. All God's mercy, and it's a multitude of mercy. All of it's where? It's all in Christ. All in Christ. In thy fear, he said, will I worship toward thy holy temple. You know who the temple foreshadowed? The temple foreshadowed the body of Christ Jesus. It foreshadowed Christ himself. He's that holy tabernacle that dwelt among us. And this is the rejoicing. We can come into God's presence, speaking, praying, calling on Him. We can come into His presence. Holy God, we're talking about. We can come into His presence. And He'll hear us because He hears His Son. Because Christ Jesus the Lord is the righteousness of the believer. He's the holiness whereby God will receive us. Look over at Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8. I read there to you Hebrews 7. And I want you to see here Hebrews 8. He said there, we have a high priest. And he's talking about all through here, he's talking about Christ our high priest, Christ the mediator between God and His people. And then it says in verse 8, now of the things which we've spoken, this is the psalm. We have such a high priest who sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Look over at chapter 9 and look at verse 11. Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that's to say, not of this building, not like that old tabernacle, neither by the blood of bulls and goats, but goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternally purchased every one of His people. What does it mean that He's entered into this holy place? Look down at verse 24. Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth. Not into, like that high priest went into that holy place in the tabernacle, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have often often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world hath He appeared for this reason. This is what Christ accomplished. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. What's the sum? Let's look at Hebrews 10:18. Hebrews 10:18. Now where remission of these is, where sin's put away, there's no more offering for sin. It's put away. That means everybody that He died for, He put away their sin. There's nothing else to offer. Now watch this. Having therefore, this is what every believer, this is what the Spirit of God bears witness of this in our hearts. We have remission. Christ put away our sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, liberty to enter into the holiest. Where do we see that? Well, that's heaven itself. Into God's presence. Into the very presence of God. We have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. A new way and a living way. Which He's consecrated for us. He's opened it up. He's made it so for us. Through the veil, through His flesh, we have a high priest over the house of God. And He says, therefore, let us draw near. Let us come near. And that, do you see the rejoicing that the believer has? God says, Art, God says to me and you. Art can look at me and say, I can't believe God could say that about you, Clay. I can't either. Can't either. But He says this about me and you. Me and all my brethren. He says, come near. You have boldness, liberty. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You know what faith is? Faith is the assurance that I can come to God. There's nothing else to be done. I can come to God. Faith is believing God will receive me. He put away my sin. He'll receive me. I can come to God. How do we get this? Our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience. He made us to see what we are in ourselves, but He's made us see what we are in Christ. And our bodies are washed with pure water. This is Christ the Lord. Now that's joy. If God will hear me, if He'll hear you when we pray, if He'll hear me now, right now, when I pray, if I can draw near to Him right now in prayer, which every believer can come to God, every believer can call on Him and draw near to Him, if He'll receive me now like that, when I call on His name, when I call on Him in my heart, when I call on Him in prayer, that means right now, without anything else being done, I am fit, I am meet to be partakers of with those saints that are already in glory with Him. He hears the believer sitting right here, right now. He hears you sitting here right now like He hears those saints that are there with Him right now. And we're as fit and as perfect and as meek to be with Him right now without anything else being done in Christ Jesus our Lord, by the blood of Christ. We're as fit to approach Him and be with Him in glory as those saints right now. If God will hear me when I call on Him, it's so. Because God hears those who've been made righteous in Christ. He hears those who've been washed by the blood of His Son. He hears us. Now there's joy. Christ hath perfected us forever. How do you know? Because He hears me. He hears me. He hears my voice when I pray unto Him. Now, I don't know how to pray as I ought to. I don't know how to pray to Him as I ought to. Sometimes I can't even put my prayer into words. Sometimes I can't even do anything but just groan. But the Spirit helps my infirmity. And he that searches the heart, look at this at Romans 8. He that searches the heart, he knows. And Christ intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He presents my petition to God perfectly. You see, we read these Psalms and we read David. We see that a man wrote this, David. But when we read these Psalms, God's recording this for us, how it comes to Him in Christ Jesus, so that we can see that where David didn't pray as he ought, this is exactly how Christ interceded for David. And this is how Christ intercedes for His people. So that when we read these things, even when it sounds like we read that, destroy them, because they're enemies against thee, Christ prays that in perfect righteousness, without any sin. Intercedes that without any sin. But look at this. Romans 8:26. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit itself. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you see, when we behold David here saying, give ear to my words, hear the words of my meditation, David can pray. He can come into God's presence just like every believer can, in our King, our High Priest, our Mediator, Christ the King. Now, that being said, I want to give you four words concerning prayer. Four words concerning prayer. Here's the first word. It's first. I'm going to give you just four single words to remember. This is the first one. First. First. Look at verse 3. Psalm 5:3. David says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Morning here means first. It means first. It means beginning, in the beginning. Now, the power of the Lord creates a willingness. He creates this willingness in our heart to cast all our care into His hands. David says, unto thee will I pray. And when a sinner is made to behold that Christ is our intercession, He's our intercessor, He's the one who presents us to God. And when we're made to see that, we seek Him first. We seek Him continually. We seek Him always. We seek Him early. It doesn't mean just when we first wake up in the morning, although we do. We seek Him early. But it means seek Him first. Christ said, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek Him preeminently. Seek Him above what you're going to put on, what you're going to wear, where you're going to work, how you're going to feed your family, how you're going to... Seek Christ first. Seek Christ first. And this is... See, when God speaks into this heart, when He puts Christ in the heart, when Christ enters in the heart, we really do begin praying without ceasing. He commands us. He calls us and says, cast all your care onto me. Pray to me without ceasing. And the believer begins to really pray without ceasing. We really do. Pray without ceasing. I laugh sometimes about all this uproar and this carrying on about not being able to pray in certain places in the schools and what have you. Nobody's been able to stop me from praying anywhere, anytime, ever. Ever. We come into God and we pray to Him continually. But you see, when prayer's an act, when it's a mere act, when it's a mere duty, it's a habit. It's a work. It's just a work of self-righteousness. But when God has come in and He's entered into our soul, prayer becomes the life of God in the soul. That's what it's, the total dependence. We live on Him. We live upon our God. That's when we're made to see the total inability in ourselves and our total helplessness. We live upon God. We continually trust God and depend upon God for everything. For everything. And we're living upon Him. Look at verse 8. He says, "Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of my enemies." You know what the word there is? Those who observe me, watch to find fault in me, to accuse me. "Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of my enemies." You know what Satan is called? He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's watching, wanting to accuse. That's what this flesh is. This flesh, my flesh, within me, is an accuser. That's what it is. Accusing me, accusing myself. Trying to take away my hope and my righteousness and my confidence and the blessing I have and rejoicing I have in my Savior. My own flesh is this enemy. How much more the enemy's round about. We totally depend on Him. Isn't it joy to be able to be honest, to really depend on God for everything? It's great joy to be able to confess to the Lord, "Lord, I need You. I need You every hour. I need You to lead me constantly." So that's the first word. First. Seek Him first. First word. Here's the second word concerning our approaching God, our prayer to God. Here's the second word. Reverence. Reverence. Look at verse 3. David says, "In the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee." Look over at Genesis 22:9. I want to show you another example where the original word is translated another way, and it'll help us understand what that word direct means. Genesis 22, verse 9. You know this account. It's whenever Abraham went up the mount as the Lord commanded him, and he was sacrificing Isaac. Picture of Christ the Redeemer. Look here at Genesis 22:9. It says, "And they came to the place which God had told him of." That's what we're doing. And when we come to God in prayer, we're coming to the place God's told us to come to. We're coming to Christ, to that holy temple, to that holy tabernacle, to that Christ Jesus our Lord. We're coming in Him, coming through Him. And He says here, "And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order." You see that word, "in order"? It's the same original word that's translated "direct" in our text. He laid the wood in order. In order. True prayer is worship of God the Father. It's in reverence. It's in order. When we behold what it took to redeem us. You know what it took to redeem us? It took Christ coming. It took Christ bearing our sin in His own body on the tree. It took Christ going to the cross and paying the wages of our sin debt. And it took, in order to make us justified, and it takes Him coming to us in power and revealing in us the what Christ has done by the Spirit of God, creating us anew. This is done through His gospel in righteousness, in order according to God. And when we behold the order of God's kingdom and the order of God's righteousness and the order of the way it took to redeem us from iniquity, we behold this one we're approaching, this one we're praying to is holy. He's holy. And we come to Him in reverence. We come to Him in fear. The beginning of fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we truly reverence God, it's the beginning of wisdom. And we come there worshiping Him, and we come there with some order before God. What do you mean by that? Well, let's look at Matthew 6, and let's see what our Lord said about it. Matthew 6. He was talking there about the hypocrites that love to stand in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men when they pray, to be seen. How they make great prayer and all that. And he was saying, go into your closet and pray. And look what he says here in verse 7, Matthew 6, 7. He says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Before ye ask him. Look at this now. I want you to see here. He says, verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye. It doesn't mean we have to use these exact words. It doesn't mean we even have to we pray these in this exact order of the things he gives here. But it means after this manner. I want you to see here the simplicity and the singleness. This is what reverence is. This is what true worship is. Knowing that the Father knows what we need before we even ask him. There's three simple things here that this prayer includes. It includes adoration and submission. It includes our need. And it includes praise. It's three things. Now look at this. Adoration and submission. Verse 9. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy. Say worthy to be praised above all. Reverend. Holy and reverend is his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your will be done as it is in heaven. This is just adoration and submission. This is pray after that manner with adoration and submission. This is the stuff of reference. And then look, here's the second thing. It's need. And this is our need. All our need is right here. Our Lord doesn't speak in excess. What our Lord gives us here is exactly what we need. Here's what we need. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. We just need today God to provide just our bread, our shelter, our clothing, our everything we need just for today. That's what we need. And we say give because it's a gift of God. And look at this 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need forgiveness. That's what we need. We need forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to be led out of evil, delivered from it. That's what we need. We need right now, today, have our daily need. We need forgiveness, and we need God to lead us. That's what we need. It may come in various shapes and forms and fashions, that evil that we need to be led out of. But this is what we need. And here's the third thing, it's just praise. Look at verse 13. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In all these things, this is what we're saying. Lord, glorify your name. Glorify yourself. You see how single and how simplistic it is, how true prayer is? That's what, because our Father knows the things we have need of before we ever ask him. So the first word is first. The second word concerning approaching his throne of grace is reverence. All this hoopla in the world and all this carrying on in the church, and there's so much excess in religion. Excess. God's people are very simple, very singular. And God teaches us to be so. Here's the third word. Expectation. Expectation. Look back at the psalm in verse 3. David said, and I will look up. I will look up. He said, I'll seek you first. I'll seek you early. I'll seek you preeminently in the morning. He said, I'll seek you in reverence. I'll direct my prayer unto thee. Not just I'm going to direct it at you, but I'm going to have reverence when I approach you, because I see your holiness in what you did in your Son. And here's the third word, and I'll look up. The word is I'll watch and I'll wait. I expect you to answer my petition. You know, that's all this anxiety we have, and I'm talking to Clay here. All my anxiety, all my worry, all my fretting, all the things that just weigh me down and burden me so, is not expecting God to do for me what He said He will do. And it's this too. It's not watching and expecting, and it's not waiting. Not waiting. There's something evil. I don't know. There's something evil about having what we want at the push of a button. Right now. It teaches us not to wait. Not to wait on anything. We need to slow down. You know, we need to slow down. We need to learn to wait. Trust. Expect. That's what He's saying. Expect. I'm going to expect, Lord. I expect. I'm looking up. I'm expecting. Let me ask you this. Everything that you have needed, has God provided? Everything I've ever needed, God has provided. So, why would I not expect? He's provided me righteousness in His Son. He's provided me the perfection of His Son. Provided me access into His presence. Provided me, after that, there's not really a whole lot I need. I do need Him to provide for me while I sojourn through this life. Don't we? And He'll provide it. He said, if I've given my Son, I'll give you everything. I'll give everything you need. So we expect God to save all His own. We can expect God to provide for all His own. We can expect God to come again and to take us home. We can expect it. Expect it. Therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you, that He may be exalted, that He may have mercy on you. For the Lord's a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait on Him. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. He'll strengthen thy heart. He'll strengthen thine heart. So here's the first word is first. Seek Him first. God won't have any rivalries. He won't have any rivalries between us and Him. He's going to remove them. And it may be very painful when He removes them, but He's going to make us seek Him first. Secondly, we come to Him reverencing Him. He said to Moses, take off the shoes of your feet, Moses. This is holy ground. Somebody said this. We ought to consider, I'm going to misquote it. We ought to consider our words more than the simplicity of our words, more than the multitude of our words. That's more important. Simplicity. And here's the third thing is expectation. Expect Him to do what He said. And here's the fourth word to remember when we approach His throne of grace. Joy. Rejoice. Look at verse 11. Let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Do you trust the Lord? Do you rejoice in Him? If we trust Him, we have every reason to rejoice in Him. If we really trust the Lord, He says, let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Let them ever shout for joy. We have reason in our Lord Jesus Christ to rejoice continually, and to rejoice greatly. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? What's the joy? Look at that next word. Because Thou defendest them. You cover them. You protect them. We're covered in the robe of His righteousness, and He's going to defend us and protect us. He's defend us and protect us with His own life, with His own blood. He'll defend and protect us in this world. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. Verse 12, for Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt Thou compass him as with a shield. Going to serve. We're righteous by how? In Christ. And because of Christ, in Christ, we're surrounded. We're hedged about by a consuming fire who is our God, who defends us like a shield. You ever remember those old shows where they would have some character and he'd have a force field? You remember? His force field beyond him. No, you couldn't get to him because he'd have a force field around. The believer's got a force field around us, and it's Christ our Lord. Our righteousness. He defends us like a shield. Like a shield. This is rejoicing, isn't it? Listen, we got liberty to come to God because Christ our mediator. He hears us now, meaning He's going to receive us right now, and He'll receive us into His glory and His presence forevermore. So when we do that, when we know that, when we rejoice in that, when we have this in our heart, knowing that He's going to hear, and knowing that He hears us, He also receives us because He's made us accepted in the Beloved, then remember these four words. Seek Him first. Seek Him in order, in reverence. Come to Him and bow to Him. Seek Him, expecting Him, watching up, looking for Him, and waiting on Him to do exactly as He's promised. And do it with joy, rejoicing. Do it with joy. Let them rejoice. Let them rejoice. I don't have anything not to rejoice in. Not to rejoice in. It's not that everything is... It's not that there's not thorns. It's not that there are not great reasons right now. If I look to the waves, it's not that there's not great reason for me to cry my eyes out. But I got greater reason to rejoice. Rejoice. Look up. Look to Him. And rejoice in Him. Rejoice in Him. God will defend us. He'll defend all who've trusted Him. He's made them righteous. And He's going to defend them. And this is our rejoicing. God who crowned Christ. God who brought Him into His presence and crowned Christ Jesus, His only begotten Son, with endless joy. He's going to crown His people with the endless joy of being brought into His presence. He's going to do it for His own righteousness' sake. That is, for the sake of Christ the Lord. Can you rejoice? Can we rejoice? We got great reason to rejoice in Him. I hope that's a blessing.